ALI, and so if you've been to ALI, you might have sat in this lesson, and it's also a 10-hour lesson. So he does it 2 hours per day, and it's a 10-hour lesson. So when he brought it to the Winter Fire Forums this year and taught it, he condensed it down to about an hour. And so I'm not going to add a whole lot to this at all. I want to go through these notes, and Brother Dibble, if you ever listen to this recording, and I don't do it justice, you'll have to forgive me.
Amen. Amen.
And he will. And he will. Because there's no way we can cover all of this in one sitting. And I want to start with a story. Story of Simon Wiesenthal. Simon Wiesenthal lost 89 relatives in Hitler's death camps. As a result of his experience, he devoted his life to finding Nazi war criminals and bringing them to justice. He was still pursuing this mission when he died at the age of 96 on September 20th, 2005. He was often asked while he was alive when he would give up this mission of his. If you want to put up my title slide, that'd be good. You can. Yeah, leave that up for a while. Praise the Lord. He was often asked while he was alive when he would give up this mission of his. After all, he's chasing down men in their 70s, 80s, and 90s for crimes committed over half a century ago. Wiesenthal answered these questions finally by authoring a book called The Sunflower, on the possibilities and limits of forgiveness. The book begins with a true experience he had while he himself was a concentration camp prisoner. One day, while he was in a work detail, he was yanked out of the detail and taken up a back stairway into a dark hospital room. A nurse let him into the room and then left him alone with a figure wrapped in white and laying on a bed. The figure was a badly wounded German soldier whose entire face was covered with bandages. His name was Karl. With a trembling voice, the German soldier began to make a kind of confession to Wiesenthal. He told how he had been brought up in a Nazi family. He told about the fighting he had experienced on the Russian front and the brutal measures his SS unit had taken against the Jews. Then he talked about one particular terrible atrocity that he had been a party to. He said that all the Jews in a particular town were rounded up and herded into a big wooden building. And then every door was chained and the building was set on fire. And he said, "I took an active part in that crime." Several times, Wiesenthal tried to get up and leave the room, but each time the ghost-like figure would reach out and beg him to stay. Finally, after 2 hours of unburdening his soul, Karl told Wiesenthal why he had been summoned. The soldier had asked a nurse if any Jews still existed. "Are there any Jews still left? Or did we kill them all? If so, he wanted one brought to his room so he could clear his conscience before he died." He then said to Wiesenthal, "I am left here with my guilt. I do not know who you are. I only know that you're a Jew, and that's enough. I know that what I'm asking is almost too much for you. But without your answer, I cannot die in peace." Karl asked for forgiveness for all the Jews he had ever killed. He asked forgiveness from a man, a Jew, who might soon die himself in a concentration camp. Wiesenthal sat in silence for some time and stared at the man's bandaged face. And after a while, without saying a word, he got up and left the room. He left the soldier in torment, unforgiven. And I wonder, did Simon Wiesenthal do the very best that he could? He himself seemed dissatisfied with his actions later on in life. He went over it with his companions. He even visited the dead soldier's mother. In his book, he had asked 53 rabbis, Christian theologians, and secular philosophers to comment on it. He asked, "What would you have done?" Out of the 53 people he asked, the majority, vast majority, 47, said that he had done the right thing in leaving the soldier lying there unforgiven. Only 6 said that he had done the wrong thing. And yet, the Bible says that we have the privilege and the obligation of granting forgiveness to those who have wronged us. Dr. David Siemens, in his book, Healing for Damaged Emotions, says, the 2 primary causes of emotional stress are the failure to forgive and the failure to receive forgiveness. It's pretty powerful.
Yes, it is.
So I want to go through tonight, and there's going to be 7 different parts of this. First is the biblical foundation for forgiveness. The second is how many times should we forgive? The third one is offenses. We're going to look at offenses. The fourth part is alternatives to forgiveness. Alternatives to forgiveness. The fifth part, why no alternatives to forgiveness work. So after we look at the alternatives, we're going to say, why don't they work? And then we'll look at Jesus' premier teaching on forgiveness, which is in Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35. And then finally, we'll look at the definition of forgiveness, okay? Definition, the biblical definition of forgiveness. So right now, in your mind, think about, how do you view forgiveness? Don't shout it out or share it with anybody else. But think about how you view forgiveness. What is your definition in your mind? If you have a notepad, maybe write it down. And then at the end, maybe we can compare your view or your definition of forgiveness to that of the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
So first, let's look at the biblical foundation for forgiveness. And let's look in the words of Jesus. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 through 15. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15. Says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's a pretty strong statement,
right,
about the power of forgiveness.
Yes, it is.
In your life. And what effect it has when you go to ask God for forgiveness. Matthew chapter 7, verse 2 says, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Speaking of forgiveness, Jesus says, how you forgive matters. How you forgive, if you're going to be all-inclusive with your forgiveness, or if you're going to just forgive and hold a lot of forgiveness back, matters, because it's going to affect you in the long run, and sometimes in the short term. All right, Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. It can't just be in your actions. It can't just be in your mind. It has to be from your heart. Praise the Lord. These scriptures, and Brother Dibble said this many times as he was teaching, I don't like these scriptures. I don't necessarily like these scriptures. And I can say today, I am the one that needs forgiveness. I need forgiveness. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 11, verses 25 through 26. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So it would be nice if Jesus stopped right there in verse 25 and said, oh, go ahead and forgive, because then it would just leave you with this open-ended, like, maybe I can do it later. Maybe somewhere down the line I can forgive and it'll all be taken care of. Or maybe after God blesses me. But when he follows up, there's no question as to what he's talking about. He says, but if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Amen. It's such a powerful and important concept in the Bible. Amen. And so right now, I just want to stop and take some time, take a moment right now, and let's just ask God. We've kind of set the groundwork and the biblical foundation for forgiveness, but let's ask God, open my life, open my heart, open my mind, Lord Jesus. God, help me to identify, Lord, who I need to forgive, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord God, to take an inventory, Lord Jesus, of my life. Oh God, there's people that maybe I don't even know if they have offended me, Lord Jesus, but it feels like something's wrong in my life, Lord, and I ask you, God, that you would reveal it to me, Jesus. Would you help me tonight, Lord? God, open up my understanding, Lord Jesus. Help me to understand this powerful, powerful concept, Lord God. Lord Jesus, you've said it clear in your word, Lord God, that we need to forgive. Oh, Lord Jesus, show us how to forgive. Show us, Lord, the steps to take, Lord God. Show us what to do and what to say, Lord Jesus, so that we can find this peace and this healing and forgiveness, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I also meant to mention that as I was talking to Brother Dibble, he told me that there is a series that he did. He actually did this series at Pentecostals of Greater Hartford for our district superintendent, Brother John Potoski. So on Pentecostals of Greater Hartford's YouTube page, there's 5 lessons in this series. And I would encourage you strongly, go in there and listen to every single one of them. And I can send you the link if you ask me for it. I will send you the link directly to start on the first one, and then it'll automatically start playing the next one, okay? Praise the Lord. But each lesson is about an hour and a half, okay? So it's going to take some thinking and some time, but it is well worth your time to go and look more into this subject and really take it to heart. Hallelujah. So the second part here, how many times should we forgive? How many times? Jesus answered this question. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Now, I'm reading it like that on purpose because it sounds, I kind of put the voice of the person I'm reading in my head as I'm reading it, and it sounds like Peter, maybe he's like 7, that's the perfect number. 7, that's God's number, right? And so he says 7 times, you know, and thinking maybe Jesus will be like, great job, pat Peter on the head, right? But Jesus saith unto him, verse 22, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Amen. That number, Jesus, you get the picture that Jesus is giving him a number that will make him stop counting. Right?
That's right.
It's so many times that that you can't keep track of that. And some of us struggle to forgive one time.
Amen.
That's the truth. To truly forgive is so difficult for you to do in the flesh that it's going to take the love of God and the power of God to help you forgive. Don't think that you can do it on your own. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, this is talking the subject of this chapter. It's called the love chapter. But this subject, talking about the perfect love of God, it says it doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. In other words, you should forgive without thinking that the person's going to do you wrong again. You should forgive without reservation.
Amen.
Without thinking, oh, I'm going to hold back and see maybe if that person corrects their course in order to forgive them. It's unconditional. Unconditional. Hallelujah. So that's part two. We should forgive as many times as necessary to be in alignment with God and His will. Amen. And the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And I know how difficult this is. I know personally how hard it can be to forgive others. In fact, as I was listening to this message, Brother Dibble was teaching this message at the Winter Fire Forums, and inside I was just kind of burning up because I had just had a conversation with my wife a few days before that about a situation, and I was trying to jump through like spiritual hoops. I was trying to use some of these alternatives to forgiveness that we're going to talk about. I was trying to say, well, that scripture doesn't apply during this situation because, and give all these different reasons why I didn't have to or I was not obligated to forgive. And so, of course, I don't know about you, but Winter Fire, you go there, and there's this, God's just going to give you this powerful download and new spiritual insight. And
yeah.
I'm excited, going to go to the Winter Fire Forums and sit there with Brother Greeley, Nathan Greeley, and I'm going to get some new insight about something that's going to help our church grow. This will help our church grow.
All right. Amen.
This will help our church grow. In fact, God gave me that answer. This right here is the epitome of Christian evangelism.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because if you can't find forgiveness in the house of God, you're not going to find it anywhere else. And we all know that that's the truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So it's a shame, right, if we can't come to the house of God and find forgiveness and forgive one another. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's thank God right now for giving us this perfect way to find unity, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the ability, the power, Lord God, that you've given us to forgive.
Hallelujah.
Lord, through your word and through your spirit, oh God. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for this unique opportunity, for this unique power, Lord God, that you've given us. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us, God, to use it wisely, Lord God, and in the proper manner, Lord Jesus. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. And the testimony is that the situation I was talking about with my wife, when I did forgive and not expect somebody to run to me and bow down before me, and when I did it biblically, God fixed that situation without me having to say a word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It's the right thing to do. It's contrary to what the world would say, it is the right thing to do. Praise the Lord. So let's look at offenses. Offenses. This is part three. If you're keeping track of seven, we're doing good. So Matthew chapter 18, verse 7. And this is such an amazing verse. Matthew 18, 7. It says, "Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." You know, I want to kind of jump in and say, well, can we just take out the middle part of that verse? Because wouldn't it be great if it read, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh"? But why did Jesus have to interject there, "For it must needs be that offenses come"? Why? Why are offenses necessary? Why is it that it must needs be? Well, there's something powerful about offenses, and that is that they reveal an issue that either you or someone else has. It's like a, in the medical field, like a CAT scan. You know, they do CAT scans, and I'm sure Alyssa, if I get this wrong, go ask Alyssa. She knows medical stuff. But CAT scans are used because x-rays can't find problems. So they need to do an image of your body that's going to reveal something in the tissue. And a lot of times, CAT scans find cancer that nobody knew was there because it wasn't detected by, you know, feeling on the skin like the doctor's doing the physical or taking an image of the bones. And so offenses are kind of like this detection system in the spirit that reveal that there was a problem there all along that was unmitigated or was not treated or dealt with. Okay? So if you know you constantly feel yourself rising up and feeling offended, there's a big possibility that there's something going on in your heart that's making you more sensitive to those types of offenses. And thinking, and when somebody comes and maybe says something to you the wrong way, or you interpret what somebody said in this way or that way as malicious in nature, but it was really like an innocent comment and they didn't mean to upset you at all. It's like a very powerful barometer for your spirit, whether or not your heart's right, whether or not there's something going on with you. Or, and that's, you know, if you listen to the teaching of Brother Dibble, he says 75% of the time, and he shows this through scripture, 75% of the time, it's actually, when an offense happens, it's something to do with yourself and not the other person. 75%, 3 out of 4. And so if perchance it is something that that other person has going on in their soul, in their spirit, then it's actually a good thing that it came to the surface. Because that issue, that sinful problem, is keeping your brother lost and depressed and without the right course. They're not walking in righteousness. They don't have the mind of Christ. And so they're lashing out at other people. And it actually reveals, Jesus said, out of the mouth the heart speaketh. How many offenses come from words versus actions?
Yes.
Oh, so many. So many come because the mouth finally gave up and showed its hand, showed what's going on in the heart. So we say, why? Why is it good? Why is it must needs that offenses come? Because it causes there to be an opportunity for reconciliation to occur between two people that were already at odds. They're already not in unity. They're already not equally yoked. Is this making any sense?
Yes, yes.
They're already having troubles. And you love your brother. You love your sister. If people think about it, they deeply love the people in the church and in their family. And if you were asked, would you want harm to come to that person? Oh no, oh no. But if that person's hiding something from God and from everyone else, many times God uses the mechanism of offense to reveal that there is a problem, a deeper underlying issue that needs to be dealt with. And it can only be dealt with through them offending or you being offended, and then reconciliation and forgiveness.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. And so, as hard as it might be, James said, we glory in tribulations. When something comes upon us, we have joy because it makes our faith perfect. We actually thank God when a little trouble comes in our lives, because it actually allows His glory to shine forth. And so, in that context, and I know this is hard, in that context, I thank God for offenses. Do I like them? No. Do I want them to happen more frequently? I wish I never had that happen to my life. But God, if it helps to turn up the heat in my life and purify me as gold tried in the fire so that I can be saved,
amen.
Let the offenses come.
Yes.
Because I know you'll never leave me and forsake me. Amen. You're going to be there with me through the whole thing, and there will be reconciliation. There will be restitution. God will reconcile all things. He's going to do it. Praise the Lord. If we have the right mind and the right heart, God is going to bring healing. Amen?
Amen.
Can we thank God?
Thank you.
Can I ask you to thank God for offenses?
Thank you, Jesus, for offenses.
Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing these things to happen in my life, God. Oh, Lord Jesus, so that, Lord, it can reveal something about me that I don't know myself, Lord, something that my heart's deceiving me from, Lord God, that I didn't know was an issue, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, thank you, Lord God, for shining the light of truth upon your upon my soul, upon my spirit, oh, God, and allowing me to see something, Lord Jesus, that's going to help me be saved, oh, God. Oh, Lord, I thank you for it, Jesus. I thank you that your love, Lord God, overcomes all offenses, Lord Jesus. And God, that forgiveness is available, Lord Jesus, for my sins, and Lord, even for those that sin against me, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, let's look at the alternatives to forgiveness. And I subtitled this, Inadequate Substitutes. Because all other attempts to deal with offenses are inadequate. And we'll see this through the scripture. So these are the things that people do to avoid forgiving. Let's just do this. Repeat after me if you're comfortable. These are the things.
These are the things.
That I do.
That I do.
To avoid forgiving.
To avoid forgiving.
Yeah. These are the things that I do to avoid forgiving. And this is what forgiveness is not. So forgiveness is not restitution. Restitution is spiritual, and it's part of forgiveness, but it's not forgiveness. Restitution means restoration to the former or original state. In other words, if Brother So-and-so steals $10 from me, and we find out about it, and Brother So-and-so, I say, I demand restitution. And he gives me back the $10. I now have the $10. But restitution is not restoration of balance. Because I now don't trust Brother So-and-so. I now have a problem anytime he's around. Because I don't think that I can leave him alone with my stuff anymore. So restitution does not bring about, it doesn't restore balance. But it just returns it to the original balance. So here's what Romans 3:23 says. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, there's no way of restoring back the innocent state. When Adam sinned, Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they were clothed and the blood was shed and they were clothed with the skins of animals. And God brought back balance, but it didn't change the fact that they were no longer innocent. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says this, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, restitution, or trying your very best to restore back yourself to an innocent state, is fruitless, because there's not a single thing you can do in order to deserve the forgiveness of God.
All right. Amen.
You can't pray one prayer to be forgiven. You can't to deserve it. You can't come to church 10 times. Give any sort of number whatsoever, and that does not count one iota towards your forgiveness. God looks at your heart. He says, does he have faith? Does she have faith? Is she willing to forgive, to be forgiven? And then you're forgiven. Praise the Lord. But restitution doesn't happen. So in this case, restitution doesn't work. It's an inadequate substitute. Okay, what about retaliation? Retaliation is to repay as a wrong or injury with the like. To return like for like. Especially to do evil in return for evil. So this is where those verses in the Old Testament come up, where it says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life. Right? So this is retaliation. In other words, I'm going to take back from you what you stole from me. And do it in kind. Now, why doesn't this work? Well, it doesn't work because we are never quite satisfied with doing an equal payment or repayment of an evil act.
Right.
And it just plays out through our minds. Oh, so-and-so, you know, came to my house and took money from me. Well, then I'm going to go to his house and I'm going to take money from him, and maybe I'm going to slash his tires on the way out. And then he's coming back to my house and he's going to burn my truck. It just keeps escalating. Retaliation leads to war. That's what it leads to. It never works. And thank God that even in the Old Testament, he said there's limits to this. You don't get two eyes for one eye, you get one eye for one eye.
That's right. That's right.
You don't get two teeth for one tooth. It's kind of hard to say.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to escalate. Because it would lead to war. And God does not want war within his people, within the body of Christ. Romans 12:19 says this: "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Now, this verse, "vengeance is mine, I will repay." Let me just say this. Jesus was the only one who could pay for your evil and for my evil.
Right.
He was the only one that could become sin, who was innocent and knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
He's the only one that has the right. He purchased that right to repay on Calvary. He's the only one with the right to repay with vengeance. So what business is it of ours to try to repay evil for evil?
Amen.
Romans 12:21, and two verses later, he says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Right. Amen.
Overcome evil with good. That's so powerful. Praise the Lord. Well, what about the next one? It's not forgiveness. Resentment. Resentment. Resentment is the feeling of displeasure or indignation at something regarded as an injury or insult. It's a deep, burning feeling in your soul or heart, of just irritation or displeasure, indignation at something that you see as an injury or an insult. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Whosoever hateth," that's that deep displeasure, "whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer." Wow. That's really raising the bar. Jesus is really taking our understanding and his requirements to the next level. Because he's not saying if you kill your brother, you're a murderer. He's taking it a little bit. This is like much, much more difficult. He's saying even if you have resentment, if you harbor anguish and hatred in your heart towards your brother, you're a murderer. And he knows that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Wow. If you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Yes. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love..." I'm sorry, let me read that again. "For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" In other words, the Spirit of God is calling us out. If we hate our brother, if we harbor resentment in our heart, it's not going to bring back restoration. It's not going to bring unity back to us. Amen. Okay, well, how about reservation? Reservation. Reservation is a keeping back, withholding, or setting apart. It's the making of some exception or qualification, an exception or qualification made expressly or tacitly. It's a mental reservation. In other words, saying, I forgive you, but in your heart or in your mind, not really forgiving that person. Going through the motions. Or saying, well, I forgive you about this thing, but I don't forgive you about this other thing. I only forgive you for what you asked for forgiveness for, but not for what I know you did. Okay? Psalm 34:14 says this, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So is it good enough for us to come to the table of peace and just waiting for the other person to show up? No. We're supposed to go find them. We're supposed to chase after peace, amen. Pursue it. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. James chapter 3 verse 18 says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace, not of everybody, but of them that make peace. In other words, peace is not going to make itself. You've got to make peace. You've got to take the time to pray for that brother, that sister. You've got to take the time to pray for your spouse or your children. You've got to take the time to pray for those that have wronged you and see if there's any possible way for there to be peace. And then when you do, don't do it partially. Do it fully. Hallelujah. Number five is roll off. Roll off is an old term taken from the electronics and broadcasting industries, describing the elimination of high frequencies from the transmission to reduce static on the broadcast. And it's also, roll off is also a term used to describe what happens to water on a duck's back. The oil produced by the duck's body coats the feathers and causes water drops to roll off. Well, the reason this doesn't work is that eventually the oil on the duck's back will reduce and erode, and finally that water will find its home. And it also doesn't work completely in the broadcasting industry. Just turn your radio to the AM stations and you'll hear this. But you can't really quite get that signal 100%. Proverbs 6:16 says, by mercy and truth is iniquity purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. We need mercy. We need to be merciful if we are ever to obtain mercy.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? If you get wounded in your hand or in your, you know, you're working and you smash your finger with a hammer, you can bandage it up and eventually the nail will grow back and everything will be fine. But if you're wounded in your spirit, it can stay with you for a long, long time, years yes. and decades.
Yes.
That's Amen. Right. My grandfather told me one time of a lady in his church who was having some difficulties and finally said, Pastor, I need to meet with you in your office. And so he took her into the office there and she said, you did something to me back in 19 such and such, and it was like 17 years ago. And she was harboring that resentment that long, all those years. She could never quite eliminate that nagging problem that she had. It didn't matter. She'd gone to the church 17 years and heard my grandfather preach all those times, and she just could never bring herself there. Do this biblically. That's why this is so important, that we learn what biblical forgiveness is. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, forgetting. What about forgetting? Forgetting is, man, that would be so crazy that you can forget something that somebody did against you. That, if you had that kind of spiritual acuity, you would be amazing.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
But forgetting is to cease to remember, to omit to think of, to take no note of, or to cease or omit to think of something. Job chapter 9, verses 27 through 28. If I say, I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself, I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know thou wilt not hold me innocent. In other words, as much as I try to forget, I'm still afraid of all the things going on in my life. Forgetting is not an option. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. In other words, and if you go read Lamentations chapter 3, it is brutal. It's hard to read Lamentations chapter 3. And he gets in there and he says, every single thing that I've gone through and other things that the people have gone through, I remember them. And it's like, wow, how in the world is this prophet going to, how is Jeremiah ever going to get over these things? And then God turns the light on, and there's hope that comes in, because God has given us the ability to forgive.
Amen.
So why is it that no alternatives to forgiveness work? And I'm only on part 5. And so this is going to be like one of those things that Sister Greeley does. We're going to go from part 6 and 7 another time. Amen?
Amen.
All right. But this is, put this on your radar, I hope.
Yes.
This is helpful.
Yes, it is. Yes.
I hope. Amen. So why is it that none of these work? Well, of course, when the offense is remembered, forgetting fails. And it results in more roll-off. Roll-off, which fails when the toleration limit is reached, and then degenerates into reservation, which is destroyed by competition for friends and territory, either inadvertently or purposefully. And this creates tension, which disintegrates into resentment, both for failure to maintain the boundaries and also for the original offense. Resentment breeds and grows, feeding on itself, and eventually justifies retaliation, which creates a chain reaction of evil for evil that does not result in restitution, but total war. This results in the ruin of both the offender and the offended. Ugh. In other words, we need to take God's way. We need to find peace through the Spirit of God, through the love of God. We need to find forgiveness, and we need to forgive even ourselves. We need to have this forgiveness, and it's vital to our spirit. And I know that as I've been speaking, as I've been talking to you, I know that there are things that have come up in your mind. People that have wronged you and that maybe intentionally, you know that they intentionally were out to get you. Or maybe you read it wrong and it was not intentional. It was not meant to be malicious. But these different situations have come up in your mind. Maybe even things that have happened years and years and years ago. And I'm asking you from the heart of the Lord that you find the peace of God, that you find out what it takes to forgive. Forgive one another. Love one another. Following peace is worth it. It's difficult, I know. It is so difficult. We can do sometimes everything possible to avoid the confrontation and that uncomfortable conversation that we have to have. But if we are to be the children of God, if we are to be forgiven and find remission of sins, I beg of you, find out what it takes to forgive and do it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Why don't, right where you are, just stay seated just for a moment. And I want you to bring up those things in your mind. I want you to think of the worst thing that somebody's done to you that you have not fully forgiven them for. Think about it. Maybe you remember that day. Maybe you remember how the sun was shining, or you remember what you were doing, and you remember you were going through your life, and you had your purpose, and you had your goals, and all of a sudden, this offense came. Think about it. Bring it to the full front of your attention. Now, we're going to offer this offense as a sacrifice to the Lord. We're going to bring this offense to God. We're going to lift it up to the Lord. So, just in your mind's eye, if you're not comfortable lifting your hands, but just in your mind's eye, would you lift up that offense to the Lord Jesus? And would you just begin to tell Jesus, tell him all about it. Just talk to the Lord and say, oh God, these things that happened, Lord, these offenses that came, oh God, even when I was so young, Lord, and I was so innocent and I didn't deserve that offense, God, I didn't expect it. I didn't know, Lord Jesus, that it was going to harm me in the way that it did and put my life on a different track than it was supposed to be on. Oh, Lord Jesus, I ask you, God, I sacrifice this offense to you, Lord God. I bring it fully to you, Lord Jesus. God, would you forgive? Now, this is important. Would you forgive the one who offended me, Lord? Just forgive them, Lord God. Lord, hold this thing not to their charge. God, don't bring it against them on the day of judgment, Lord Jesus. Oh God, I forgive them, Lord Jesus, totally and completely, Lord God. With the help of the Holy Ghost, God, I find in my heart, Lord Jesus, because of your love, Lord God, Because you have forgiven me, Lord Jesus, of all of my sins, God. I bring this offense to you, Lord Jesus, and I ask you to take this offense, Lord Jesus, from me, oh God. I ask you to take it from me, amen. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to remember it no more. Oh Lord Jesus, don't bring it up to me, Lord, in the day of judgment. Oh Lord, don't bring that person, don't bring me to testify against them, oh God. Don't bring me, Lord Jesus, as a witness against them. Oh God, I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive them, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can we stand together and lift up our hands to the Lord and just begin to thank Him for taking the offense?
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh Lord, take the offense, oh God. You've taken it, Lord Jesus. You already took it to the cross of Calvary, oh God. You already took the offense, Lord Jesus, and you nailed it to the cross, oh God. Oh Lord, you knew, Lord Jesus, 2,000 years ago, Lord God, that these offenses would come in my life, oh God. And Lord Jesus, you took them to the cross, oh Lord Jesus. I forgive them, Lord God. I forgive them, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Oh, Lord, I'm not going to try to require anything of them, Lord God. I'm not going to try to bring them, Lord Jesus, to their knees. I'm not going to try, Lord God, to make them repay back anything that they've done against me, Lord Jesus. I'm not going to try any route, Lord God, that's totally and completely inadequate, God. Oh, Lord Jesus, but I'm going through forgiveness, Lord. Forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Oh, I worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you just feel that burden lift off of you, why don't you just begin to worship the Lord for it?
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, oh God. Oh, hallelujah. Do you feel the peace of God that passes all understanding? Oh, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I praise you. I love you. I thank you, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, you are so good, God. You are so good. Why don't we clap our hands to the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You see, forgiveness can take something that's plagued you for decades, and in a moment, it can just be lifted off of you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's, to me, just tremendous. It's amazing. And I'll just give you this one instruction. Because remember that we can't forget. Remember that issue is going to come up again. Remember it's going to come back to your mind. When it does, take a moment to do what you just did and forgive. Just do it again. It just takes a moment, and God will take that and bring that healing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Pastor, anything? Praise God. Thank you so much for coming. To be continued. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Oh, we need help to move things.